Blanco Panther football is on the air. The Sun Radio Sports Network is your Friday night home for Blanco Panther football. Don't miss a minute of the action this season. Follow the Panthers every Friday night right here on 88.9 FM in Johnson City and 106.9 FM in Fredericksburg. BlancoRadio.com and the Sun Radio app, all part of the Sun Radio Sports Network. Riley Chestnut and Adam Byerly will call all the action. Kickoff is coming up, but first, it's the pregame show. Now, here's the voice of Panther football, Riley Chestnut.
Out here on Sun Radio.
You may be seated.
So, glad to get that one out of the way, but thank you and welcome, everybody. You're listening to Blanco Panther Varsity Football on KTSN Blowout Johnson City, which broadcasts off of the frequency 88.9 FM, and K295CK Luckenbach Fredericksburg, which goes out of the frequency of 106.9 FM, and we also stream online at BlancoRadio.com, SunRadio.com, and of course, on the Sun Radio Sports app, which makes us all a part of the Sun Radio Sports Network. And so I'd love to welcome you one and all here to this beautiful, beautiful night. Well, at least in my eye, I don't know what it is about the murky weather that we've been going through out here in Central Texas these last couple days, but it all seems to be working. I'm just getting word out here that we got a pronunciation for one of the players' names on Antonian Prep, and it looks to be... I appreciate that. Getting them all psyched. They're giving it over to the PA announcer now. But apparently the player's name is number 35, and that is Ethan Olguin. So, for future reference, if we see Mr. Olguin make himself known tonight in the game for Antonian Prep, the visitors out here in Blanco taking on the Panthers, that's what you're going to hear, and that's what you're going to know. But let me give you a bit of a breakdown as we will get through this pregame show. Going ahead. Seem to be settling down here. The Antonian Prep Apaches taking on the Blanco Panthers. Coming into today's matchup, the visitors out of the TAPS division, Division 1 to be exact. So the second game this year that the Blanco Panthers will be getting a march up the field going against a private school. As you know, TAPS stands for Texas Association of Private and Parochial Schools. And a little bit of background on the Apaches out here today. This is the second meeting between these two teams ever, with last year being the first. Exact same time, exact same schedule. Only difference was the location when Blanco lost on the road to Antonian Prep down in San Antonio, where the team hails from, by a score of 23-7. So, the 1-0 series all-time goes in favor of the Apaches, but the Blanco Panthers, just fresh off of last week's incredible first win of 2017, looking to deal a little bit of revenge as well in this second meeting between the two squads, as thus far, the Apaches have gone 2-2 through the first four games of the season. 42-0 was the victory of margin for them in the opening game versus Jefferson out at Jefferson High School. Then, in their only home game thus far on the year, hosting Hondo, which I got a good friend working back at Texas State at KTSW, who happens to hail from that school, and his father has been their play-by-play announcer for over 20 years. So, they took them down by a score of 49-20. But these last two games, a little bit of a difference. 42-28 the loss in week 3 versus South San Antonio, and then last week losing in the closest margin yet, 17-13 out at Floresville, of which you got to take a notice here that going back into last year, of which 2016 was a real good year for the Apaches, they started 8-0 last season before losing their final three games, and then started off the season with a two-game winning streak, only to be followed right back with a two-game losing streak. So, it's been a couple of long streaks here between the Apaches, and the Blanco Panthers are trying to catch them in the midst of what could be a formidably tough one. As a little bit of background on what this game means to everybody out here, it is the final game in the nationwide effort called Touchdowns Against Cancer. So go, I just want to encourage you all, if you're listening and you have a bit of coin hanging around in your pocket, to go to www.touchdownsagainstcancer.com and pledge to the effort to defeat childhood cancer. A noble cause indeed, as currently looking at who's leading the nation in contributions, it is Choptacon, a school out of Maryland, having raised thus far $12,000 to lead the way, while Hyde Park currently is the biggest donation team in Texas, having raised around $2,025, which is good for the 15th best total in the nation. So, Blanco, get out there while you still can, as, again, this is the last game in what has been a nationwide three-game set for everybody in the Touchdowns Against Cancer series. But today marks the final non-district game for Blanco, if you want to get a little more personal, as they look to avenge last year's, again, 23-7 road loss in San Antonio in the first meeting between these two football teams. But to be fair, the Apaches have been impressive for the most part since head coach Van Fushak's eight-year start began back in 2010, of which last year, again, 8-3, started the season 8-0, lost the final three games, in which the defense just went out the door, whereas fourth eight-win winning streak, if you're wanting to know, for Van Fushak since he took over this Antonian prep team back in 2010, at least the fourth win streak to go at least eight games, with three instances where the Apaches have won eight in a row, with the largest winning streak ever coming all the way back, I believe, in 2012 when they went on a 10-game tear. But still, it's their fourth eight-win season in the last five. So the Apaches come in with a lot of credit and a lot of credibility as currently in the rankings. They're 39th in the TAPS division, and in TAPS Division I, they're 15th, whereas currently in Texas High School. In Texas High School, they're 738th, which is good for 17 spots ahead of the Blanco Panthers out here in the rankings today. But to give it a little bit of background on what these two teams are going to be looking to go out against each other and what we can look forward to, an interesting fact is the fact that now, over the last seven games for the Apaches, they are 2-5. So going a bit against the curve, maybe Blanco can catch them now that they're in a bit of a funk, coming about at the right time to see the Apaches are marching on the field. A little bit of a lookout here, as again, the hills out in the distance from this wonderful, wonderful little town as the Friday night lights are coming up. Don't you just love the feeling? It's a bit terrifying to look out into the distance and see a huge haze of unclear doubt, some pretty covered hills, a bit of darkness shrouding everyone, as again, the temperature coming into about, as we see, 13 minutes till kickoff, only reads 69 degrees with humidity peaking at 99% to the very peak of what we're seeing here. It does feel a little bit cool outside. And of course, the Blanco fans still showing up in strong numbers. The section in front of me is a little bit thin the farther I go down, but I'm sure that's going to be filled out come game time, as again, you see the Apaches huddling in their huge blow-up helmet, ready to be met by a brigade of cheerleaders as they will make their presence known on the field, trying to get their first win out here in Blanco. But the Panthers, man, what a time to be coming in here looking to make it a two-game win streak, and the first win streak for head coach Bill Tesh. Again, last week, 21-6 was the final score in that victory over the Randolph Roehawks that got Bill Tesh and the Blanco Panthers off the losing wagon and got that monkey off of head coach Tesh's back. And speaking of which, we got a little bit of time to look at the audio we managed to get here in the interview I was able to get with head coach Bill Tesh. So let me just turn it over and let Coach Tesh take it away.
Chestnut of Sun Radio Sports Network out here today in some pretty nasty conditions with head coach Bill Tesh.
You said it. It is nasty out there. We've had a couple good days of practice. Yesterday's practice was good in the last 20 or 30 minutes when that storm hit, but we did good. And today it kind of rained the whole time, but we still got all our sessions in, and I think they're ready to go no matter what the field condition is Friday night.
And coming off of last week's win, definitely a bit of a good feeling to come off the first win. Congratulations to you on that, your first win as the head coach. What necessarily about coming off of a win can help make prepping for the next week, if anything, a little less taxing on your mind, thinking about, instead of an effort that didn't come up necessarily to game plan, actually came up and performed well?
Well, sure, and we're pushing the kids all the time. The big thing for us is we had to learn is the first time this year we'd been up at halftime, and so we had to still find an edge, and play the other 24 minutes. And defensively, obviously, we played great the whole game, and offensively, we had our spurts and some big plays. But it's a learning process for this team. And, we talked about it, throughout, but, I kind of really brought it up to a Monday about, hey, we got to, you guys got to be able to play with a lead, and there's always got to be an edge out there. And so that's what we've been working on all week.
The biggest difference in the edge I saw being the fact that y'all had 7 tackles for loss and your first 2 sacks of the year. First one was a big one to end the first half when Randolph was kind of storming, and second one was kind of the same scenario. So how great was it to see your team come up with those huge hits behind the line of scrimmage?
Yes, without a doubt, Coach Balmos and Coach Lukey and Coach Carnes and Coach Sheehan, they've been coming up with a great plan. You know, we've been working on that. Emphasis has been on that throughout the year, and for that to, you know, you, like you just said, to see it on game night is you know, it's great to see.
One big player I could note for the first time, y'all got a passing touchdown. Kelly Cox connecting on a pretty long toss there with Peyton Van Dyke right at the end of the, or around in the second quarter. Seeing Van Dyke finally getting to use that height of mismatch he always has going against him. And one of the players on this upcoming Antonio Prep team is a 5'4 corner. So if you can exploit that matchup, how huge will that be?
Well, sure. I mean, you always look for that when you're going in to any game. But at the same time, we got to run our offense and, you know, and let things happen. Sometimes if you start forcing stuff, then you get away from your game plan because you're just emphasizing one thing. But, no, it was great to see. It was a great catch, great toss. And, you know, like I said, every week we kind of look at that anyway, and we go from there.
And your quarterback, Kelby Cox, touchdown, rushing touchdown, passing touchdown, but still 2 picks coming along. A couple of big passes, though, to keep the offense moving pretty well. What is he going to be taking, and how do you like the adjustments he's making each week?
Sure, and we talk to Kelby about that all the time, about not having any turnovers. You know, there's certain times to have, you know, you can throw it, but, you know, in that instance right there, just throw it away. You know, the field position would have still been ours, and, you know, they picked that ball off and ran an extra 20, 30 yards, and they switched the field on us. So, you know, he's working on that, we're working on that, and, you know, we're trying to take care of all those mistakes.
And one thing I did notice at the beginning of the last game was the fact that y'all had Cave Phelps getting a majority of the snaps to run the ball. What necessarily were you seeing in practice last week that led y'all to make him the primary carrier, especially with Jet Hood doing so well?
Yeah. Now, both of them are good. I mean, we got good backs. It's just each one represents or has different, you know, capabilities. Cade is faster than Jet. And, you know, has a little bit more speed. And so we were probably trying to see if we could get some more explosive plays out of that position. You know, at the same time, Jet does a great job for what he does. He just doesn't have the speed Cade does. So, you know, both of them are, you know, they both play defense. So, you know, they're both warriors. They're just going to have to, you know, we'll pick and choose as, you know, who's in there and so forth. But, you know, that's all that is based on. That's nothing, no punishment or anything.
Now, coming off a win, you won't have to change everything up as much as, say, from week to week, switch a few people around, but what things will you be changing to prep for Antonian Prep this week?
Well, they're big and strong and fast. You know, it's kind of typical what we've seen all year in pre-district, and so they bring a challenge, and they're usually real good. So, you know, we got to just make sure we take our win and with the confidence and step up and try to protect our home field.
And this being the last non-district game, how do you feel this incredibly tough stretch of non-district play is going to help your team and their performance thus far going into the games that will actually mean?
Sure, and we talked to them about that, you know, day one, about, yes, this is a tough schedule. We know it is, and that's all we can do is build on it, get better, and hopefully, like I said, when we finally get to district, you know, the competition we've seen has been great, and then we'll be ready for the next 5 opponents.
All right, Coach, that's all I got for you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Everything seems to be settling down along nice and neat here. As we take a look out there on the field, got the same baby in front of me as last week that was giving me a couple stares. Math won't be a gate this time, though, as the binky is in there, so still pretty entertained. But Blanco just came charging onto the field through their blow-up and through a nice little Blanco Panthers tear-through poster as the cheerleaders get them geared up and get the entire crowd ready to rock and roll. And when we come back from this little break here, I'll have more to break down for you, and the national anthem will be starting in just a minute, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Blanco Panthers football out here on Sun Radio as a part of the Sun Radio Sports Network.
Support comes from AMM Collision Center,
specializing in complete body and paint repair for residents in Austin and the Texas Hill Country. Four locations, including in Dripping Springs on Highway 290, west of the light at Sunset Canyon. More information, including hours of operation, online at ammcollision.com and by phone at 512-894-3888 and by AMM Collision Center. Specializing in complete body and paint repair for residents in Austin and the Texas Hill Country. Four locations, including in Dripping Springs on Highway 290, west of the light at Sunset Canyon. More information, including hours of operation, online at ammcollision.com and by phone at 512-894-3888.
Hey folks, this is Lad Pepper from Old 300 Barbecue. Just wanted to wish the Blanco Panthers a great season. Gig'em Panthers.
And everything seems to be working its way out here, as unfortunately it's just going to be me tonight, as they had to move Adam over to go play a little bit of help down in Uvalde, as it's Gonzalez out there with one of our sister networks covering on the Sun Radio Sports Network tonight. They needed Adam more in Uvalde covering the Gonzalez game than they needed him to be here. So second time, it's something to do with private schools, as this is the second time I'm taking on and calling a game where Blanco's playing a tap school, as we see out there on the field. The captains meeting and greeting, as we see it's Zach Rogers, Tanner Suarez, Paco Vargas, and Mr. 49, that is Brandon Steed. While marching out the field for Antonio Prep, you got number 5, Gus Artiga, number 7, James Merritt, number 83, John Jordan, number 86, Abel Carrasco, as now we have reached that time, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a moment to be quiet and give credence to our national anthem. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you just love that reception? Paying credence, of course, the national anthem, a bit of a subject of debate everywhere going around this country right now, especially in the NFL seats. But let's just get back to what we're doing down here in Blanco. Keep it straight, keep it to business, and I think Blanco has a real good chance to avenge what was a tough 23-7 loss last year to Antonian Prep, and here's why. Again, coming off of your first win of the season, you got to be feeling confident, especially with it being now the second straight home game. The crowd's behind you, and by golly, they are filling the seats well, even despite the pretty horrid conditions, I'd say, as we have a couple puddles out there on the Blanco sideline and off the field. It's not the greenest you're ever going to see this turf look, but it is going to be good enough to have the numbers down and make it playable out here tonight. As you see, both teams getting set to go around. Zach Rogers leading the special teams out there and getting ready for the kickoff, as coming off of last game for Blanco versus Randall, they had a season-high 7 tackles for loss, of which Kate Phelps personally had himself a day leading the charge with 4 of those. Along with that, they also got their first 2 sacks of the year while picking off Kyle Kaika, the Rohawks starting quarterback, of which that's the Blanco Panthers' 4th interception in the last 3 games for the defense, which has really been picked up ever since week 3, when they barely lost to Pearsall by a score of 14-13, as you hear the bell ringing, and that is a ding, ding, ding ready to go, ladies and gentlemen. Another huge stat I want to keep in mind, the first passing touchdown of the season and the second one in Kelby Cox's career. Coming in last game, when he connected with Peyton Van Dyke, the way you'd expect some sort of NFL player to go, as Rogers 2 steps in, makes the kick, bounce up to the 30, and now waiting to get around. A huge mass huddling down as they knock out the ball returner, John Jordan. And so, going back to it, refs are going to mark it down inside the 30. Waiting to make it seem specific. I'm wanting to see what exactly is going on out there, and they're going to put it down right on top of the 30. So that is where Antonian Prep is going to begin this drive. As again, Antonian Prep wearing road white with red on alternate spots, including their shorts, whereas on their helmet they got an A that, if any of you know college football, looks similar in design to Appalachian State, whereas Blanco is in their home blue and yellow. Now stand up ready. Ref blows the whistle as the snap. Going to be a handoff charging through the middle on the carry. Look to be Number 84, that's a bit of a different jersey number, actually. Number 28, I'm going to give credence to Devin Grant getting the carry on that play, getting set, getting ready, getting to go. Looks like he gains about 2 on the play, so make it 2nd down and 8 here. Now I'm just going to stand up to get a better view of what's going down and following the action. Stand up, ready to go. It's a gun formation and a throw to the left side, a wide open catch. One-on-one with Fortner. He gets past him before he's knocked out. Number 7 was the receiver, James Merritt. He went one-on-one and stiff-armed Fortner to get the first down before he's taken out of bounds on the near sideline by Walton Daves. So make it a 1st down and 10, moving on up. They're waiting to put the chains down, and they will put it down at about the 46-yard line. So a good 14-yard gain on that catch and go. Makes it 1st and 10 now from the Antonian Prep 46. Snap in the gun as a two-back stance. Throw up in the air, and it is a catch leading right into the tackle by Mr. Chris Ostigan. But the receiver, number 83, John Jordan, does come up with it and helps to move him up about halfway there. Make it 2nd down and 5 with 10:50 to go in the first quarter. Play clock is at 25 seconds, and both teams, of course, it's the first drive of the game, so no one has scored just yet. But two pretty impressive passing plays thus far have starting quarterback Nathan Brolic, the senior, 6 feet tall. He stands as a formidable test going up against this red-hot Blanco team. To see a little bit of edge showing, Peyton Van Dyke playing as the far safety out. It's a shotgun toss left side. Grant trying to cut in. Biggs off a tackle, but he cannot dodge Aaron Daniels, who gets to him and takes him back for a 2-yard loss to now make it 3rd down and 7. Good job there by the Panthers getting past the line and getting to the ball carrier, Grant. So you now see a substitution going in for number 83, John Jordan. It's going to be number 5, Gus Artiga, as he's going to go play wide out on the far side, along with number 1, Isaiah Maldonado, who stands only 5 feet 4 inches. Going up against Peyton Van Dyke, that is a huge mismatch. As now it's a shotgun snap. Brolic feeling the pressure, now stands up, runs out of it, throws on the run, and it's a catch, and it's a 1st down, jumping off of one leg. That's Grant making the reception and getting away from a grab to go about 2 yards ahead of the 1st down marker, so that is going to be a good one there. On the pressure throw by Brolic as he went scrambling left, never seen phase, came up with a good play and moves him all the way up to the 42-yard line for the 1st and 10, now in Blanco territory. Make it 9:34 to go here in this first quarter. Antonian Prep's first drive of the game is looking smooth and steady thus far. Brolic way back in the gun. He's going to pitch it to the left side, and Grant's going to go with a full head of steam and get the ball popped loose right into Blanco. Now bringing it back up the field. Blanco forces the turnover off of Devin Grant's hands and gets the ball back, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic work there. Oh, give credit where credit is due. That was fantastic. Nothing to it, but the man can do it. Don't know who forced the fumble, but I'm happy to see what was a fantastic answer on what was a pretty smooth offensive drive there, as that's going to be spotted down at the Blanco 49, and that is where the Panthers are going to start their first offensive set after forcing the fumble coughed up by Devin Grant after he was hit on that left arm at about the elbow as that ball was carried out a little too far with Cox under center. Again, you see Cade Phelps and Toby Treish, two men in the backfield, and they're going to hand it off as it's going to be a left side run with a little bit of a head duck. All the way to the 45 is where Treish is going to spot that one, and my goodness, first play of the game, and you see a mighty amount of mud covering Treish's jersey. Oh, man, I've never seen something that messy, as that's only the first play of the game. Give credit where credit is due. That is nasty looking. My goodness. So make it now 2nd down and about 4 to go to try and get to the 41 as Cox under center. Rogers playing the wide out on the far side. So they're going to hand off to Phelps and let him go jump. He does get the 1st down as he falls to the 40 before he's taken down by number 35. That is Mr. Ethan Olguin. So there's the first time you're hearing that name. Of course, we had to get a pronunciation guide out there to make sure we didn't pronounce it the way it looks, which is spelt like Holgin. But in this case, it is Olguin, like Seguin. But I don't need to give you a pronunciation guide. There are a lot of cities in this state with pronunciations you would not expect, as now it's 1st down on the 40 for Blanco. Again, they got this drive started after making the Apaches running back Devin Grant cough it up, and now Phelps is going to be met man-to-man and taken back for a long ride by number 42, Zane Snell, the fullback linebacker option, the senior, showing you just why he stands as tall as he does. Tegan Phelps back a little bit, only gets a one-yard gain, though, before he stood up. And so that's going to be second down and nine here with 7:53 and counting to go. Blanco trying to get the first score of the game out here in this rematch from last year. The first time the Antonian Prep Apaches have been out here in Blanco to take on the Panthers as Van Dyke is playing on the near side as the wideout. You got Trish lined up on the left. It's going to be a handoff on a jet sweep to Fortner. He's going to get tugged and bugged back all the way. Barely gains a yard as Devin Grant was the first man to get a hand on him. No gain on the play. Brings it up to third down and nine on the 39-yard line. Again, 7:23 and counting to go here out at Panthers Stadium. Thus far, a few big plays, but the Blanco Panthers trying to build off of what was the best rushing attack game in total last week when they ran for 203 yards on the ground and had three guys in Cox, Trish, and Fortner averaging over 5.5 yards a carry. As Cox steps up, fires left side, waiting to make the catch. It is picked off on an attempted height jump throw to Peyton Van Dyke, and the pickoff belongs to Golden Madrigal. And so for Cox, that is his seventh interception thrown on the season, and a tough one to bite at that. And, well, we're going to wait for these things to switch out, and we'll be right back after this short message from Charles Schwab.
Financial support comes from Charles Schwab Incorporated, member SIPC, on Highway 290 in Dripping Springs, and Brian Carpenter, branch leader, financial consultant. Personalized financial guidance for residents of the Texas Hill Country. Information at schwab.com/drippingsprings.
Well, welcome back out here, ladies and gentlemen, as the crowd a little bit disappointed after seeing Cox get baited into throwing an interception that he was hoping Van Dyke would have enough of a height mismatch over number 22, Golden Madrigal, the defensive back and a senior, as now it's going to be a big rush up the middle. Diving right into the mud on the carry is number 11, Locke Lind. And he's going to get a good amount of yardage on that play. Move it up as a second down carry on here. It's pretty close, about second down and one here on the 42-yard line, as again the hash marks have been completely faded out. It is a very messy playing field out there. Definitely going to need to wash those uniforms extra well after tonight's game. It's now shotgun throw left side, and it is a jumbled and bumbled catch there. The target was Madrigal, but he could not make the play and hold on. Could get the interception, so a bit of a switch from the usual stereotype that on defense, you play defense because you can't catch, but both these teams have players that pull double duty, so that is no excuse out here today. Settling down here. Keep it going. Now it is third down and one after the drop pass by Madrigal trying to connect with Nathan Brolick. He threw that one pretty hard. Snap ready, handoff, going through the middle, and it will be carried for a first down. As number 55, for Blanco, number 55, Tristan Lopez was the one to take him down. Gets himself back up after carrying with it. Pretty good carry there by Locke Lind. Gets the first down and moves him up to the 46-yard line, ready to carry and ready to go. 6:05 and counting to go in the first quarter. Both teams trying to score. Both teams' first drives end in turnovers. A fumble for Antonian Prep and then an interception thrown by Kelby Cox. You see, he's not out there on the field. It's going to be a handoff. And watch Madrigal try and get going to the outside before he is hounded and pounded to his own sideline by Tristan Fortner. Great job by Blanco. The initial contact to stop the play from going any further was made by Aaron Daniels and then helped out to finish it off by Fortner. You now see Griffin Weirden making his way out of the game. Subbing in for him is number 50, Jonathan Alcala. As you see, defensive tackle standing in the middle is Gunnar Granberg with Aaron Daniels. Tristan Lopez out on the edge. Showing a blitz. It's going to be Phelps running it over, and they're going to get to Brolick. Watch him escape. He's running right side. Still looking for room. Steps up, breaks a tackle, and gets pushed out on the 50-yard line by Jet Hood, but a great job by Brolick to get away from any extra hands being thrown his way. Somehow turns that play into a positive from second down and 15. He pushes it up to about third down and 6, so a 9-yard carry there on the key by Brolick. Wasn't necessarily a set play. It looked like he had no choice as, again, the right edge was blitzed out immediately by Cade Phelps, forcing Brolick to run. So now you see Brolick sending four receivers out, whereas on the far side you got number 80, Santiago Herrera, and he's going to fire to him on the slant and get the receiver, dropping the ball incomplete. Herrera had it, but he couldn't hold on as Treach was the first one on top of him, and that forces the fourth down and out here from the 50. Here comes the punting team. As the punter in tonight's game for Antonian Prep is wide receiver, defensive back, and punter listed, number 5, Gus Artiga, back standing at about the 36-yard line. So good job there by Blanco, and a bit of a messy job for Brolic's receivers as Herrera and Mr. Golden Madrigal both cannot come up with big second-down catches that could have kept the chains moving, and now Artiga punts it in the air. It's a flyer. Bouncing up, they're going to let it roll all the way to about the 10-yard line, just inside the 10-yard line. So good job there by Artiga to give Blanco a deep start in their own territory. But while we have this time, I would just like to say a huge thank you to all of our supporters out here on these Blanco Panther football broadcasts. From the people at Dirtworks, including the owners of our Remax Genesis, Mr. Wayman and Jane Lightfoot, along with Lone Star Capital Bank, Old 300 Barbecue, and Peterson Tire. We also like to give thanks to Kleepak Greenhouse, K&C Supply, Dripping Springs, Charles Schwab, Agent Brian Carpenter, and AMM Collision Center in Dripping Springs and San Marcos, along with Spring Branch Water Well Service. Thank you, guys. And now with 4:51 to go in the first quarter, Blanco starting their drive just inside their own 10. And, well, they're going to be brought back for a couple extra, maybe to about the 5 or the 6. Definitely a pretty big loss. As you see, somewhere around it, it's about a 6-yard line, so 3 yards back on the first handoff of this drive. So make it second down and 13 with 4:39 to go. The clock finally stops here. As again, Blanco, if they want to get this touchdown, they now got to go 94 yards to do it. No easy task, but definitely something we've seen them pull off, like last week when they managed to get their first touchdown of the game after starting the drive all the way from inside their own 5. So this is no stranger position than Blanco has been in, as now it's going to be actually a handoff right through the middle. And my mistake, this was always going to go as a play. And look at this. I was completely off. I take it all back. It's Antonian Prep's ball, and they're on the 6, threatening to score here. So don't know what happened in between. It was a little lost in translation to me when I looked down to thank the sponsors. I guess they got a playoff. So I'm going to try and keep better attention out there for your sake. But, yeah, second and goal here for Antonian Prep from the 6. Brolic steps up, fires right side, looking over, and he misses his receiver wide. That was the attempted catch that would have taken a rocket to get to. Isaiah Maldonado trying to go out towards the back edge of the end zone, couldn't get in. Now it's third and goal here for Antonian Prep with 4:02 to go in the first quarter. As you see a substitution coming out here, it's going to be Gus Artiga making his way in for Jordan. So Blanco trying to come up with a great goal line stand, looking to settle it out here. All right, all right, all right. As Brolic again the gun, two receivers on his left. Hand off, no play action keep. Throw to the right side, and look at this. It might have been a touchdown or incomplete, and let's see it here. Oh, man, great job there as you see Chris Ostigan getting in front of the pass and makes it fourth down and 6 as they're going to send out the special teams. Brolic is still out there on the field with Artiga, who did punt earlier today. Don't know if he serves the double duty of kicker. But, yeah, they're going to go for the field goal, and I guess it will be Mr. Artiga, the guy to go out there and push it for him with 3:54 to go on fourth down and 6. So great job there by Chris Ostigan as he nearly managed to rip that pass right out of the hands of number 2, Kite McDonald. Did not work out its way. And now Brolic is down to hold the kick. Gets it off, and the first score of the night is going to go as a field goal for Mr. Artiga and make it 3-0 Antonian Prep with 3:50 to go. Things seem to be settling down here. We're going to take a quick break. But don't go anywhere. You're listening to Panthers football out here on Sun Radio as a part of the Sun Radio Sports Network.
Support comes from Dirtworks, servicing the Hill Country with landscape material sales, rock milling, and lake construction. Information available online at dirtworks.com or by phone at 830-833-2097. Dirtworks has been supporting Blanco ISD Athletics since 1999. Go Panthers! And by Dirtworks, servicing the Hill Country with landscape material sales, rock milling, and lake construction. Information available online at dirtworks.com or by phone at 830-833-2097. Dirtworks has been supporting Blanco ISD Athletics since 1999. Go Panthers!
Hi, this is Jane Lightfoot with RE/MAX Genesis in Blanco. We want to wish the Panthers a great football season.
And we appreciate it out here, Jane. Getting everything settled, set, and under control. The Blanco Panthers somehow gave up what was supposed to be an offensive drive to start from inside their own 10. Ended up coughing up the ball, apparently, for the second turnover to take here, and that gave way. While the defense was great not to give up a touchdown, in fact, it was as close as a hand in front by Chris Ostigan that prevented them from putting up 6 on the board. Ortega makes the kick look good and gets the first points of the night for Antonian Prep and has them up 3-0 here. With 3:50 to go in the first quarter, he puts that one, bounces it up, and now Fortner is going to go left side for a return. Get a block, go outside. Stay to it as he is taken down by a pretty formidable force of one-on-one play. Number 26, the man to take him down. Settling it down here, 16. Change that. 16, Caleb Garrett was the one to come up with the play to take down Fortner. And we're going to spot this ball ready to go from the 37-yard line. So now trying to settle it up here. Bit of confusion with the PA announcers. They're trying to figure out because we do not have a 26 on the roster for Antonian Prep. I repeat, we do not have a 26 out here. But what we do has a number 16, and that jersey belongs to Caleb Garrett. There's a lot of mud covering the left side of his jersey, so I'm going to assume that we're going to get this call right as now Cox puts Fortner in motion and hands off to Tanner Suarez as he goes diving up the middle. Gets tackled down by number 72, Mark Navarro, along with a little bit of help from an old familiar foe, Zane Snell. Great job there on the carry, though. Seems to be figuring himself out just fine, as now it is going to be with the first down marker placed at the 47, they're on the 43, so second down and 4 coming up here. With 3:10 to go in the first quarter, they put Fortner in motion. He takes the handoff left side and gives it away. Has about 2 yards on the carry, makes it third down and 2. Coming up, the carry belongs to Walton Daves, who wasn't one of the real big factors in the rushing game thus far or last week, as he only carried it for about 2 yards in last week's win over Randolph. A lot of the heavy lifting was done by guys like Kelby Cox, who led the way with 62 yards on the ground, 50 of them coming on that big touchdown in the second half that put the game pretty much away on a 50-yard touchdown run by Cox. Got a little bit of a nudge from the left side as Tanner Suarez goes on the carry and is met by a full force of Apaches, including number 34, Adrian Felix, and a same old familiar foe, number 52, Ryan Pugh. Doesn't gain very much. On the carry was Jet Hood. And so, this is going to be close here. Just under the 46, so it'll be fourth down and 1 coming up here with 2:06 to go. And, well, the Panthers not showing any fear. They are going to go for it. And the crowd immediately liking the call as they did this last week with the first fourth down chance they got. Let's see if it works out here with two receivers out under center. Cox hands off. Watches the push come forward, and Hood was the primary carrier as he gets taken back for a huge toll. A couple of slaps being laid around as the main man on the stop was Mr. Devin Grant, doing a fantastic job plugging up the middle and keeping Hood from getting what was a fourth down and 1 situation. As a minute 49 to go and another first-time fourth down conversion for Bill Tesh and the coaching staff here at Blanco does not turn around. And it will be a first down and a drive to start here from the Blanco 46 for Antonian Prep. But if the Blanco defense could stop them from scoring when they started their first and goal situation inside the 7, I can't wait to see what the defense packs here. It's now the shotgun snap. Brolic fires left side, looking to go ahead, and he overthrows his man who tried to make the reaching grab but couldn't come up with it. It was targeted to Herrera, on what was a fly route down the left sideline. Incomplete will be the call and the easy make. Make it second down and 10 here still from the 46. Time reading a minute 43 to go as the clock has stopped with Antonian Prep leading 3-0 out here at Panther Stadium over the Panthers. Trying to settle it back out here. Let me clear my head. Crowd getting loud. Cheerleaders getting proud. And the shotgun snap is going to be a keep there by Brawlick as he gets a good 8 or 9 yards on the carry. It's taken down at the 40, according to the left side official. And so, with the first down marker labeled up at about the 36.5, it is going to be third down and 3. Third down and 6, maybe, to go here. With a minute 20 left in the first quarter, again, Antonian Prep is up 3-0 as they take the sub in from Mr. Ethan Olguin. He's going to come in and play a little back along with Madrigal. As Brawlick has two backs in front of him. And a perfect frame job. Brawlick fires left side and watches as the pass is picked up by Fortner after he makes contact and goes up the field. Blocks in front of him. He is still on his feet as a flag is thrown and is finally spun down by Brawlick and the entire offense chasing after Fortner. So a tight interception there by Tristan Fortner with a flag thrown on the field gives Blanco the ball back and an incredible field positioning. They got him inside to about the 30-yard line, as that's where the refs are going to mark it. But a flag was thrown. Let's see what's going to go and bring it about here. But the crowd obviously getting excited at seeing the first pick of the night. As Fortner was the guy that managed to get in front of the pass that was intended for same old number 80, Herrera. Right in the nick of time, too, as if that pass was completed. A little spin move by Herrera. But my goodness. It's going to back up the return a little bit here for Blanco. So a block in the back there is the call. And it is against the Blanco Panthers, but that's not going to change. Spotting it up here. It's not going to change the result. It's an interception off Brawlick. And it will be a drive to start here after the penalty back at the 44-yard line in Apache territory for Blanco. As Cox under center with Flores out wide and on the near side. Putting Treesh in motion. He's going to roll left. Cox is going to keep it. Go outside as a flag is thrown. He's going to go for a foot race. Get him all the way to the 21 before he's thrown down by Devin Grant. A flag was thrown. So we're going to have to wait and see what the call is here. And from the way the Panthers are reacting, it will look to be a holding call against them. But I'll take away all that good progress there on the ground by Kelby Cox. He started off at the 44-yard line, got all the way to the 21, so it could return all 23 yards of that incredible carry on what was a left side keep. And it will be a holding call against Blanco. Unfortunate there. So that is going to put them back all the way for a repeat of first down. And a huge penalty here. Waiting for the officials to spot this ball down. They're going to do so back at the Blanco 46. So if you're doing your math right, ladies and gents, add 6, make it 4, a 10-yard penalty. But it will be a repeat of first down, as now it is first and 20 from the Blanco 46. First down marker all the way inside at about the 34-yard line in Apache territory, as now Cox under center. Has three men in his backfield. Stands up, fires over pressure, looking deep down the field. And what do you call that? Van Dyke trying to break free out of what looked like a possible pass interference call against Madrigal. But the officials don't call anything. As Van Dyke going down the field trying to get that deep pass from Cox. Looks like he was trying to break off a hand that was holding him back. And now Van Dyke is going to be subbed out of the game. And look at that, the fans already upset, and I can understand why. Because from the way it looked here, officials did not see what many other people, including our own, were seeing even up here in the booth. But still, we have to move on here with 29 seconds to go. It is second and 20 with Antonian Prep. It's 29 seconds left in the first quarter. Antonian Prep up 3-0, second and 20. Hand off left side. A great fake move. Gets Treesh going outside. He stiff arms. Finally gets taken down by number 21, Mr. Matthew Spangler. So I can barely see these jersey numbers through the mud on top of him. as the count will clock back down to about 10 seconds to go in the first quarter. And it looks like getting to the line of scrimmage is going to have to wait until we get over into the second quarter start of play. And, yep, that's going to be what we go with as the first quarter sounds. Score reading 3-0, Antonian Prep out here ready to rock and roll. Everything seems to be working its way out well for the Apaches as they get a big penalty call and a non-penalty call that could have gone against them but didn't end up being so. But through one quarter of play, the score is 3-0 Apaches over the Panthers, so don't go anywhere. This is Panther football out here on Sun Radio, a part of the Sun Radio Sports Network.
Support for Panther football comes from Spring Branch Water Well Service, offering water well drilling, pump installation, and water storage. Located 15 miles south of Blanco on Highway 281 in Spring Branch. Information online at springbranchwaterwellservice.com or by phone at 830-885-4858. And by Spring Branch Water Well Service, offering water well drilling, pump installation, and water storage. Located 15 miles south of Blanco on Highway 281 in Spring Branch. Information online at springbranchwaterwellservice.com or by phone at 830-885-4858.
This is Cade Phelps from KNC Supply, and you're listening to Panther Football on BlancoRadio.com. Go Panthers.
Welcome back, everybody, out here as the start of the second quarter gets underway. Score reading 3-0, Antonian Prep over the Blanco Panthers. Still trying to figure everything out here. All settled down, ready to go. Everything seems to be getting gearing as now for a carry up the middle. It's a spin move by Cox as he keeps it. Lost his helmet on what was a mean hit over the middle by number 27, Jeff Toscano. Doesn't really get much out of it, though. Still a great carry there from what was the 46-yard line in a long second and 30, second and 20 situation. Does turn it into a first down all the way up to the 30-yard line. As now a flag is going to be thrown, and it looks to be against Blanco. As you see, the coaches are going to get flagged for exceeding the limit off of their own sideline, having a bit of words with the officials. They cannot believe the calls have been going against them. And this one is going to be going over on the bench officials as they're warning the coaches to stay back. So a flag is going to take a couple yards back here for the officials and going against the grain from what we've seen through the first four games of the year for Blanco. When they were getting penalties off of their opponents left and right, this game has been especially heavy back on the Panthers. This is going to be a long start here all the way back at the Apache 45 with the first down marker all the way up on the 21-yard line. So first and 24, if you're counting this right, is what the Panthers need to get. And, well, four tries or not. So not getting any mercy here from the officials tonight as now the officials continue to have a little bit of time to talk about what the calls are. Still trying to figure it out on first and 25. The Panthers are just waiting to get this gear going. I know I'm just waiting to see a little bit of action as the Panthers crowd, which is out in full force tonight, not giving the officials any mercy. Bible says to forgive, and my goodness, they might need a real extra scripture tonight as Daves was in at quarterback and gives the handoff to Cade Phelps. He doesn't get very far, maybe a yard from where they started to the 44. To make it second down and 24 coming up with 11:30 and counting to go here in the first half. Score reads 3-0 Antonian. As you see, Cox and Van Dyke will check back in to resume their normal duties out there with the Blanco offense after Walton Daves came in just to play a little bit of handoff with Cade Phelps, and it did not go very well. So now Horton on top of the ball at second down and 24 from the 44-yard line in Apache territory. Cox under center. Gets a jump out of the defensive line, and flags will be thrown as it was a handoff going right side for Toby Treesh that is met in full force, but it looks to be an offsides call. Let's see what we get here as flags came out a little bit later after the jump, and it will be offsides against the defense, so that's going to take away all the good progress the D-line made to stuff Toby Treesh about at least 4 yards back on top of what was the 49-yard line. Could have been a third down and 28 situation, but instead they're going to chip a little bit off of the distance here from the first down marker all the way up near the 20 and make it Second down and 19 to go here on the 39-yard line. So switching game balls here, getting a fresh one in. Blanco gets a bit of a break and now plays second down and 29 from the Apache 39-yard line. As again, nighttime has fallen completely. The lights are on and the sky is dark. As now it's going to be a step-up throw. Cox right side gets a completion to Fortner as he's taken down on top of the 30-yard line. But a flag is going to be thrown. Let's see what it's going to go for here. And the Blanco crowd already reacting like it's going to be some going against the Panthers. And we're going to have to wait and see. Man, this is not going to be good for what Blanco's trying to do out here, trying to chip away at what is only a 3-0 score in favor of the Apaches as the ball is marked down on the 31 after that completion. And as we can see here, Blanco already looking like it will be a holding call against Blanco. Oh, you can hear the crowd get angry on that one. My goodness, I've never seen them this miffed. But then again, this is only my second game out here, so I guess I got to give them time. Maybe warm up to them a little bit more. But thus far, they are not liking what the officials are dishing out here against the Panthers in terms of penalties. And, well, I can understand why. Your team's trying to get down the field, make a great drive, go all the way into the end zone for a score to take the lead. And thus far, with the way the calls are going against Blanco, in which case I trust these refs are doing their job very well, and I give them credit for sticking to it in so many situations where they are made out to be the bad guy by whatever home crowd they're going up against. As you see on the other side, let's take this one all the way back to the 46-yard line. That is where it's going to be placed. 15-yard penalty on a holding call, and that is going to make it a replay of second down all the way back on the 46, so make it second down and 26. We just have to go back all the way where we started, as Blanco couldn't take advantage of the offsides against the defense and the completion from Cox to Tristan Fortner on a middle route through the hash marks that had him going wide right. Still, at least the only bright side being it is second down, and after the completion, Cox certainly can step up and maybe make that same play again. We're just going to have to wait and see here. As I can't help but notice out there that you see a whole mass of people heading towards the Coney Ice truck, which is parked right in front of one of the Antonian prep school buses that brought the team and the band here. Definitely a nice treat, even though the weather might not exactly scream snow cone. If you're anywhere out here in Blanco, certainly come down, watch the game, and enjoy a nice little refreshing snow cone of shaved ice. As now it's a short side screen pass for Treish. He gets good blocking, goes up the field, is still breaking loose, gets a block down the right side. He's getting chased, and he is knocked out at the one-yard line, I think. And yep, mark it down at the one-yard line. A 45-yard screen pass from Cox to Toby Treish. He got fantastic blocking from everybody to set the path going left to right on a slant side curl. And with 10:18 to go, Blanco turns what was a long second down and 26 into a first and goal on the one. And yep, Gunnar Granberg is being made to motion in. No flags on the play, so nothing to get bad about. As you see, Brandon Phipps doing a fantastic job setting the block initially that allowed Treish room to wiggle free as he's subbed out. And now they got Granberg in the backfield. He's had two situations like this as he takes the handoff, breaks it in, and does get the touchdown. Oh, baby. Welcome back, Blanco, as they get a big, big screen pass play from Toby Treish. And now a one-yard touchdown run by Gunnar Granberg. My goodness, the sophomore has been busy in these situations. That is his third touchdown of the year, and the crowd going from angry to absolutely insane in the blink of an eye. Happy to see the Panthers get that good one there. So now the score is 6-3 with 9:57 to go here in the first half. And Zach Rogers is on for the PAT. He was 2-for-2 last week. Puts it up, and it is good. And I correct myself, 21 points means 3-for-3, and now he is 4-for-4. Certainly has made a well-returned effort, has Zach Rogers, since he missed that crucial PAT all the way back in week 3 versus Pearsall that ended up being the difference in the game. But everything seems to be settled down nice and neat out here, as we can take a quick little break and a nice little reminder. As you're listening to Blanco Panthers football out here on 88.9 Johnson City and 106.9 Fredericksburg, we'll be right back after this.
Support comes from Dirtworks, servicing the Hill Country with landscape material sales, rock milling, and lake construction. Information available online at dirtworks.com or by phone at 830-833-2097. Dirtworks has been supporting Blanco ISD Athletics since 1999. Go Panthers!
And by KNC Supply, selling hardware, lumber, and farm and ranch supplies to the residents of Blanco and the Texas Hill Country. Located at 2400 North Highway 281 in Blanco. Open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
And welcome back, everybody. If you just missed it, the Panthers got a fantastic screen pass off to Toby Treesh that he ended up running all the way from the 46 to the 1 yard line before that set up Gunnar Granberg's third first and goal situation touchdown of the year and his third game, which he's gotten that off and started the scoring load for the Blanco team. As you see, the score is 7-3 in favor of the Panthers, obviously, with 9:51 to go here in the first half, second quarter, if you want to keep it simple. And Antonian Prep's going to start their drive back on their own 37-yard line, looking for a nice response as Brolic, thus far, has been a bit of a mess, trying to get passes off in close coverage. He's going to keep it left side and pitch it, try to get it to the outside on a pitch left to Corion Holmes, that he can only take so far to about the 40 is where the official is going to place it down and get that one marked. So about a 3 yard gain on the play makes it second down and 7. Seems to be working its way out here well as the play clock already at 20 seconds about to tick. Yeah, second down and 7 here to go from the 37. Excuse me, I'm just trying to clear my throat here, but Brolic again back in the gun. He has hardly been in any other stance. Looking for one of his three receivers, throws it over the middle, and Wade. That pass bounced incomplete, and the left side official took his time, and I did see a bounce, so that should be ruled an incomplete pass, and it will be. But the officials certainly took their time trying to make that call as the crowd was immediately getting on them to keep attention and make the right choice. And they did. It's going to be third down and 7 after the incomplete pass on a desperation throw over the middle. Brolic didn't really have many options as he was feeling a full zone blitz. And now goes back out there with a back by a side in Lind. Gets the snap in the gun. Gets pressure off the left side but throws over the middle. And it is a sliding catch made by Tony Hornado, number 8, for the first down. Puts him all the way up to the 49-yard line. So make it work there. It's a first down coming up here for the Apaches as Brolic gets plenty of coverage on what was a weak side edge coming towards him and can't really get to him as he fires one over the middle and gets a nice sliding grab in the mud by Hornado. So now first and 10 from the Apache 49 for Antonian Prep. Three receivers closely lined up, two of them back in the slot behind the line. Shotgun snap, and it's going to be a handoff going left side. Lynn didn't really get very far as he is about spotted exactly where he started. And Blanco's looking to serve a little bit of heavy duty over the line. Barely gains a yard just behind the 50. So make it barely second down and 9 here. Coming up for the Apaches as they're at the halfway point of the field. And you see subbed into the game for Blanco to play nose tackle, their biggest man, number 73, Wyatt Perkins, all 6 feet 4, 280 pounds on the largest listed player on both rosters. Brolic throws short, and Phelps on what was attempted to be a pass over to Hornado on the right side going out as the second receiver making his way out on the sideline. Cave Phelps reached out and got in front of the pass and unfortunately could not hold on a far reach for the interception, which would have been the second. And with no one around Phelps, that would have been a pretty probable pick six return. And, well, that's still going to force a timeout here, as you definitely need to rethink what's going on with your quarterback, Brolic, as he is getting pretty risky. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Blanco Panthers football out here on the Sun Radio Sports Network.
Support for Panther football on BlancoRadio.com comes from Clay Pack Greenhouses. Deep-rooted in Blanco athletics, everyone at Clay Pack Greenhouses wishes all the best to the Panthers on a great season.
And by Old 300 Barbecue. Open 7 days a week on the square in Blanco. Large and small catering available. More information at 833-1227 or online at old300bbq.com. On behalf of Old 300 Barbecue, here's to a great 2017 Panther football season.
This is Dr. Dustin Barton, principal of Blanco High School, and you're listening to Panther football on BlancoRadio.com. Go Panthers!
Thank you, everybody, and welcome back out here at Blanco High School, where the Panthers currently lead over the Apaches by a score 7-3 with 8:35 to go here in the second quarter. And the Apaches spotting a third down and 9 on top of the 50 as the shotgun snap for Brolic is not going to be met. It is going to be a false start going against the Apache offense, and that is going to make this a tough, tough way to come back here as they're going to have a long third down to try and convert, and would you look at that. I don't know what's floating out over the field, but Van Dyke just tried to jump and swat it out as it looks like a bubble. Wonder who blew that bubble. But it is making its way over towards the Apache sideline and into the Apache visitors section, so maybe it can pop over there. And it looks like it did, no longer shining. You can tell by the way the lights are shining what that bubble was up to. But hey, back to the play. Shotgun snap for Brolic. He's back. Plenty of time. Fires over the middle. Got a man open, but he misses him. Incomplete. The intended target was John Jordan, but the shot was overthrown. Unfortunately, what could have been a great throw by Brolic ends up going for naught and will make it a fourth down and 15. Punt coming up here for Artiga and the Apaches. It's now 8:27 marked on the clock here in the second quarter left. 7-3 Blanco. And now coming up with a fourth and out here, we're going to see what the Panthers have in store as in the backfield waiting for the return as the punt does get off barely in time. It's going to be fielded by Van Dyke. He's going to step up, keep to his feet, spin right into a hit there by number 20, Mr. William Pice. And that's where they're going to mark him down past the 30. In fact, official is jumbling the ball a little bit as they're going to mark it down just left of the 30 marker on the far side from Blanco at about the 31-yard line. And that is where Blanco is going to start this drive. Pretty respectable field position. Definitely have scored from far greater distances and far greater downs distances. So now a fresh first and 10 coming up here. As now I found where the source of the bubbles are coming from, the student section with a fan waving it around. Getting that bubble wand going and getting ready. Certainly giving the crowd a nice distraction is now under center. Cox back, hands off to his wing back, Toby Treesh, as he cuts inside of a block, gets spun down at about the 34, 33-yard line, so about a 2-yard gain there for Toby Treesh, getting a nice pat on the back there from his tackler, Ethan Olguin. And both of them exchanging some pleasantries. As you see, Daniels is going to be checked out, and Brand Wagner is going to be put in the game. Yeah, that is Wagner just in front of the near side 30 with the entire Blanco sideline following through the puddles on their own sideline, as you see. The call here from one of the assistant coaches, Scott Balmos. It's going to be a far side run up the cut. And look at Fortner. He keeps spinning back. He's breaking free. Man, oh man, how far can he go with a couple of Apaches on his back? Tristan Fortner with a man's run all the way inside Apache territory to the 48. I've never seen a more physical push, but my goodness, Fortner kept backing up and backing up, and well, the Apaches were trying to tackle him as if they had butter on top of their jerseys. He was just sliding off that thing, but now it's first and 10 on the Apache 48 after the huge carry by Fortner, the team leader in rushing yards on the ground this year with over 80. Has been doing a fantastic job with 7:12 to go. Long handoff, right side, and now Treesh is not going to break three that time. He is immediately held back by Adrian Felix before the cavalry comes and takes him out, which the team being named the Apaches is a bit ironic, as now you see one of the linemen, Brandon Phipps, is limping off of the field. He's walking through it, being tough with it, but hey, go get that looked at there, Phipps. See what's going on. Just needs to get that one checked out as he does come off a bit limpish off the field. And so Brant Wagner is going to check back in and play the far side wideout receiver on top of the 50. Is now second and 11 from the 49-yard line. Cox under center, Fortner in the slot on the left side. Showing a bit of a jump on the left side. They give it to Hood, and he is immediately met with force as he is brought down in a one-on-one situation. A big bully job there by Mr. Devin Grant as he takes Hood all the way back for a big loss on the play. And that's not something you can forgive here, as Jed Hood getting struggling thus far in this game. From what I've seen, not a lot of positive carry for one of the more reliable options here on this Blanco team, as they're going to spot this ball back on the Blanco 47 to to make it third down and 14 with 5:55 and counting to go before halftime. The score is 7-3 Blanco. Needs a big one here. Let's see what they got. Under center, Cox, play action, holding it. Runs right side. Has a man in front of him block him as he fires over. And it is a diving catch. Let's see if they spot it that way. And it is a catch there for Walton Daves. It won't be a first down catch, but it will cut a huge chunk of the distance. And so we see here a fantastic work there. But look at that. It's a personal foul going against the Apaches. And that is going to help the cause here for Blanco to make it a first down. As you saw, there was an after-throw hit on Kelby Cox that the refs could not ignore. And so roughing the passer will be the stance here. Right side official just trying to make sure it is correct, and he does get the flag call over it. As well, they're going to take the penalty and cut the distance on top of their Apache, let's see here, 43. First down markers on the 38. So the late hit there, of course, going against the Apaches. They're spotting the ball, waiting to see where it is going to be thrown and how far they're going to move it ahead. As we see, it will be a first down switch. Trying to get it back here. Official on the underside is bringing it up the field. How far will he go? Oh, man, this is a big distance. That's going to help Blanco have all the confidence in the world to try and make something out of this drive with 5:37 to go. Official backing up, puts it down inside the 30 on the 28-yard line in Apache territory. And so Blanco, first and 10 from the 28. Just needs to keep the good motion going. And so a big penalty there takes away what was a long third down opportunity and what would have been a fourth down situation and makes it first down inside the 30 for Blanco as Cox under center. As Flores wide out and is going to get the handoff through the middle. Running it over, a fantastic carry inside to the 19-yard line. And would you look at that, a fantastic play call. That was Jed Hood on the carry, taking it back for that 4-yard loss he got suffered through earlier by Mr. Devin Grant. And so, make it first and 10 to go here inside on the 18-yard line. Selling it down here. 5:05 to go in the first half. Blanco leading 7-3, 18 yards away from extending this lead. Under center snap, handoff, right side, going through the middle. It's a carry. Gets a good gain, gets him inside the 10 at about the 7 or the 6. And that was Walton Daves going on the drawback cut up the middle as his offensive line does a great job getting him a table setter. And about 6 yards on the game puts him down just on top of the 7-yard line with 4:35 to go. It is second down and 4 here for the Panthers. But they are inside the red zone and they are inside the 10 on top of the 7 as Cox under center. He's going to give it on the left side. Staying to his feet, keeping the ball at least from being popped out of him. Jed Hood does not get very far before he is mustered down by a combined effort. That was led on the head hit by Mr. Golden Madrigal. So it's going to be third and 4 after the no gain, and Ostigan is going to check in and bring the play call with him. So a third down and 4 situation on top of the 8-yard line here for the Panthers. Trying to make the most of it with 3:50 to go. Before halftime, they're leading 7-3 over the Apaches. Let's see what Blanco has in the bag here. Putting him in motion. Going to be a handoff through the middle and a dive. And let's see it here. It's a touchdown. It is a touchdown, an 8-yard rushing TD. Oh, baby, Jet Hood gets breaking in. Way to get a part of the party here, Jet. The second straight game, he's gotten into the end zone on the rush. And that makes it 13-3 Blanco with 3:38 on the clock left before halftime. Pretty good time to see that one go there as now the cheerleaders get to throw in some souvenirs into the Blanco side seats. And the student section is popping, even more so than I can say last week. It is filled to the brim as now the kick from Rogers is good. And that PAT makes it 14-3 Panthers out here at home over Antonian Prep. As we got halftime just over 3 minutes away, you do not want to miss anything that is going down out here. But stick around, ladies and gentlemen, after this break. We'll be right back with more Panthers football out here on Sun Radio.
Support for tonight's Blanco Panther football broadcast comes from Peterson Tire, the Hill Country's authorized Yokohama dealer, offering Yokohama tires including Geolander AT Geo15 and HT Geo56, Avid lines and performance tires like Advance Sports AS and S-Drive, locations in Blanco and in Johnson City along Highway 281, available by phone at 830-833-1004 in Blanco and 830-868-2004 in Johnson City. Daniel and everyone at Peterson Tire wish all the best to the Panthers in a great 2017 season. Go Panthers!
Hi, this is Justin Williams with Clay Pack Greenhouses, and you're listening to Panther Football on BlancoRadio.com. Go Panthers!
And I welcome you back out here, everybody, as the score currently reads 14-3 in favor of the Panthers. And it's been a good one here as the kick from Rogers is going to be taken just to the 34-yard line, so about 5 yards on the gain there, as the man on the carry was number 16. Mr. Caleb Garrett didn't get very far. And so with 3:34 to go here before halftime, and Blanco currently whipping the Apaches into submission thus far on the ground, and with about 3 turnovers against Antonian Prep, it is not as clean a game as it was for the Apaches last year when they beat Blanco at home in San Antonio by a score of 23-7. Blanco is on the revenge and is ready to dish the same punishment back. And now lining up here is the Apache offense with Brolic still in the gun and a back behind him. It's going to be a handoff to him, sweeping to the left side. Grant stays on his feet through a grab, gets pushing, gets him inside to the 40. 6 yard gain makes it 2nd down and 4 after Grant initially had to get those 6 yards and turn what would have been a 2 yard loss into a 6 yard gain. So a good strong move there, breaking off of a low key grab by Grant, helps get him the first down. Why did I say that? I'm going to take that back. That is 2nd down and 4. It's not a first down, Riley. Come on. But hey, we're here to have fun. And Brolic's going to keep it off the snap, go left side. And he will get the first down as he just breaks in across the 45 before he's taken down by Aaron Daniels, Tristan Fortner, Jonathan Alcala, and Toby Treish. Still won't mean much here, as it will be a first down according to the left side official, confirming what I believe. Just barely across it, though, to the 46 is where they're going to spot this ball to make it a fresh pair of downs coming up here. 2:45 to go before halftime as the clock has stopped. 14-3 is the lead here for the Blanco Panthers. And it was about this situation last week that Randolph really got going before Blanco managed to come up with a huge sack to end the half and keep any score off the board for the Rohawks, as now Grant continues to push through contact, stay on his feet. And he looks to be getting a bit of a reaction from one of the fans out in the crowd. Don't know if he can hear anybody else but himself, as he's got Beats headphones on, but he is really into this game here for his Panthers. That is about a 3 yard gain on the play, putting him on the Apache 49 for Antonian. Makes it 2nd down and 7 to go here, with the score currently reading 14-3 in favor of Blanco. 2:10 to go before halftime. We got a lot of fun stuff to talk about, including recaps on what we can hope to see, as now it's a shotgun snap. And Brolic trying to look for a left side pass, instead keeps it through the middle and gets knocked forward inside Blanco territory. He is toppled on the 49-yard line, according to all the officials. And a timeout is going to be called for the Apaches. So, what have I seen thus far? What I've seen is a bit of strong running on this early drive, as it could be the last serious drive that Antonian could have in this first half. And they've got to try and make up something here, as it hasn't been the cleanest or most dominant game I've seen from Blanco, but they are certainly getting the job done defensively and offensively, getting some big-time penalties out of Apaches and getting a few big runs out of guys like Toby Treish, who got his biggest run of the night on a 45-yard screen pass. So it wasn't a rush. And then, of course, the 1 yard touchdown run by Gunnar Granberg. And then the 8 yard touchdown run by Jed Hood, having been the two biggest scores of the game here, as while both teams are getting ready to break out of their timeout huddles. I just want to send a special notice and say congratulations to the Blanco Panthers Lady Volleyball team, as they earned their district wins this past week in an article posted on Blanco County News, defeating the ranked Lady Eagles out of Johnson City in a 3-1 set, is now the shotgun snap for Brolic. He fakes a throw, fires right side to get a receiver open, and it is a catch for Jordan. Racing down the right sideline, he is hogtied by Ostigan, but they get him inside the 10. Oh, what a magnificent fake throw to set up Mr. Jordan running free down the right sideline. Definitely a trick play, if you could call one, the closest we've seen to it tonight, as now Jordan, after putting him on top of the 10-yard line, before he was hogtied down pretty hard by Chris Ostigan, a great tackle there to help prevent a touchdown. As now the shotgun snap, Brolic hands off, and there's a flag thrown. Left side going wide out. It's a break-free touchdown run for Devin Grant going towards the left pylon. But let's see here. A flag was thrown. So let's see if they do take it back here away, as the Blanco coach is thinking it will be against the Apaches, and it will be. So no touchdown there for Devin Grant, as the offensive line cost one for him on the penalty call. And now the penalty is going to put them back here. Maybe a little bit more distance to gain, but again, give a big congratulations to the Lady Panthers as they took down Johnson City and the Lady Eagles team in a 3-1 set victory with scores of 25-23, lost the second set 25-10, and then won the last two 25-20 and 28-26, so the last one really being the difference, as they're going to spot this ball on a 15-yard penalty all the way back at the 25-yard line to make it first and 25 to go here with a minute 33 left before halftime, and Blanco leading 14-3, the Apaches. If that penalty didn't happen, it would have been a touchdown for Devin Grant, and now the keep by Brolic as he is brought down on the hold by Jonathan Alcala with help from Fortner. And according to the officials, they barely gain a yard on the play. So, 1:13 and counting to go here in the second quarter. 14-3 Blanco. Barely a yard to gain on that quarterback keep there by Nathan Brolic. And so the Panthers trying to play just like the end of the last first half last week versus Randolph. Looking to get a big stop here and prevent any score from coming up, as now the high snap caught by Brolic. He stands in the gun. Plenty of time, now runs into pressure. He's going to try and rush it. Maybe get to about the 20, and yes, he will. A four-yard carry on what was a last-second keep option. As now a timeout for the Apaches is going to try and get their affairs in order with 3rd and 20 coming up, 43 seconds to go here before halftime. And the score reading 14-3 in favor of the Blanco Panthers. So let's just take a quick break. When we come back, we'll see how this drive intertwines for the Apaches. Don't go anywhere. This is Blanco Panthers football out here on Sun Radio, 88.9 Johnson City and 106.9 Fredericksburg.
Support for Panther football comes from Spring Branch Water Well Service, offering water well drilling, pump installation, and water storage. Located 15 miles south of Blanco on Highway 281 in Spring Branch. Information online at springbranchwaterwellservice.com or by phone at 830-885-4858. By RE/MAX Genesis owners Jane and Wayman Lightfoot, selling farms, ranches, land, and homes throughout the Hill Country, including the communities of Blanco, Will Verde, and Spring Branch. Jane Wayman and everyone at RE/MAX.
And welcome back out here, ladies and gentlemen. As now the snap to Brolic is back in the gun. He throws over the pressure in front. Gets a short pass to Lind, who's using blocks. Stays to his feet. And gets him back to about the 5-yard line. So great job to gain it there. 19 yards on the short desperation throw over the middle. Gets Mr. Locke Lynn all the way back to the 5-yard line and makes it a 4th and 5 to go here, 17 seconds and counting. And they're going to bring Artiga on to kick this field goal through to try and give the Apaches one final score before the halftime clock sounds. And now the kick from Artiga is going to go right on through. Field goal with leaves 1 second left on the clock here and makes the score 14-6. In favor of the Panthers still, so good job there by the defense, and with little time left, they're going to call it and wait for this play to come about as kickoff will come up, and we will be right back after this, as the score currently leading in this game, 14-6 in favor of the Blanco Panthers. You definitely don't want to miss it. It's been a great battle thus far, but the Panthers are holding on tight with 2 touchdown runs and some staunch defense to keep everyone off of the backfield. Let's get back to it. We'll be right back after this short break.
Support comes from Lone Star Capital Bank in Blanco.
Offering construction loans, home mortgages, and banking options for your personal or business need. Online at lscb.com and by phone at 830-833-4587. Branch manager Ernesto Bustamante and everyone at Lone Star Capital Bank wishes the Panthers the very best this season. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Welcome back, everybody. Waiting for the kickoff here. The Apaches are going to look to get it off from Gus Artiga as he hits a field goal with only 1 second left to spare before we get to halftime here. And I'll have to set up another break as Artiga shoots a liner on the ground to Flores, who's going to take it, try and break off his feet as this will be the last play, and it'll be dropped down inside the 40 for Blanco. And that is the first half, ladies and gentlemen. A good score for the Blanco fans as it currently reads 14-6. And despite some early penalty calls going against the Panthers for some sloppy execution, they've got the lead held on and look to be holding on tight going into the second half. As thus far, the big carries, the biggest play I can see, according to what the stats don't tell me, is I'm just going based off my own eye here, but it currently reads as the biggest play of this first half being that huge screen pass for Toby Treach from Kelby Cox that set him loose from what was a second down and 26 situation. It was a 45-yard screen pass completion that got the job done and seems to be selling it out here, ready to rock and roll